Jonah chapter 2, and we'll read from the verse 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, or out of the belly of the grave cried I, and thou heardst my voice. For thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was above me, was about me rather forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. And we'll end there, knowing the Lord will bless the reading of his precious truth. The account of Jonah's presence in the belly of a fish is one that has been lambasted by skeptics as an impossible history. Many deny that a man would be able to survive inside the belly of a fish. But those that deny the history of this particular portion have a very small God. We have a mighty God who was well able to preserve Jonah inside the belly of the fish. On account of the unusualness of this particular story, some Christians have found it necessary to try and prove scientifically that it was possible for this to take place. And while there's certainly merit in the arguments that they present and the stories that they tell, we're not to understand this as a natural phenomenon. For the Lord had prepared a great fish, it says in verse 17. The Lord had appointed a fish. The Lord had assigned this fish. That's chapter 1:17. This was not just a natural event. That's the whole point of the story. And therefore, the God who was able to provide the fish, was able to provide oxygen for Jonah while he was in there, was able to preserve him despite all of the gastric juices and so on in the belly of the fish. And we know that even if something like this was repeated today, still the crowds would not believe. And remember in Luke 16, the rich man in hell, he wanted his brothers to be warned, but remember how there came that voice. They have the law, they have the word of God. Yeah, they won't listen more if someone came back from the dead. And so it is today. If we could replicate the story of a man inside the belly of a fish for 3 days, we wouldn't get any genuine converts from it. The Lord himself confirmed the truthfulness of this particular scene when he quoted from it in Matthew chapter 12, talking about how Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights, Jonah 12:40, and so he prophesied his own death and burial, the time that Jonah was in the fish, rather, being a type of the sufferings and death of our Lord Jesus, and being Jonah being vomited out, a type of our Lord's glorious resurrection. Now tonight it is the detail of prayer in Jonah that I want to draw your attention to, where in verse 1 it says, "Then Jonah prayed. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly." And I want to simply look then at Jonah prayed. First of all, Jonah prayed from a place of undeserved mercy. Jonah prayed from the fish's belly. As we have it emphasized here, he prayed out of the fish's belly. Now, why was Jonah in the belly of the fish in the first place? He was there as a result of his own disobedience. The Lord had said, "Go to Nineveh, cry against that great city. Their wickedness has come up before me." And Jonah, in his disobedience, rebelled. He went to Joppa, and he took a ship that was sailing to Tarshish in the opposite direction. Not going to Nineveh, but going in the opposite direction. And so Jonah was going away. And we certainly see something of Jonah's disobedience in the language of the chapter 1, where in verse 3, Jonah 1 verse 3, Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. And it wasn't merely that he went down geographically, he was going down spiritually. He found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it. And so he went down into the ship, and then later we discover that he went down into the hold of the ship. He didn't remain up on the deck. He was a man that was going down, 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 further away from the Lord. We could also say that he had presumed upon convenience, his providence. For when he arrived at Joppa, there was a ship there that was to depart. How convenient that was. He wanted to get away and there was a ship there. Convenient also that it was going in the opposite direction. Convenient that he had the right money to pay the fare. But none of this was evidence that it was the will of God. So at times we can make that mistake, that error of Jonah, and we sense that because there's an opportunity, it must be the will of God. It wasn't so in this particular case. Jonah had got away because he was full of prejudice against the Ninevites. He thought it was better for them to perish than for God to show mercy to them. He hoped that mercy would be shown to the Jews, to the nation of Israel. But he had no compassion for those of Nineveh, happy to see them to perish. And so Jonah, when he came to pray then in the belly of the fish, we can say that he was cold. He was rebellious. And yet the Lord had mercy upon him because the Lord gave him another opportunity to pray. Surely, if Jonah had received what he deserved when he was cast over the side of the ship, he ought to have perished. That is what he would deserve for such disobedience against the word of the Lord. And yet the Lord provided this fish, that Jonah might again be provided with a place to pray, that he might be given a place to call upon the Lord's name again. And isn't it true that so often we find ourselves in depths of our own making? We can find ourselves in a time of trouble that we really have brought upon ourselves by our own sin, by our own wandering, by our own excusing of sin, our own rationalizing of sin, and yet the Lord provides us with a fish, as it were. The Lord provides us with a place where we can come and call upon the Lord's name again. And our very presence here in the meeting tonight is evidence of undeserved mercy. But here we are. We're able to call upon the Lord's name once again. Jonah prayed out of the fish's belly. He prayed from a place of undeserved mercy. But then I want to see, secondly, that Jonah prayed with recognition that God was his only hope. Jonah prayed with recognition that God was his only hope. For Jonah, at this particular time, there was really nothing else that he could do. All options now were closed to him. The only thing that he really could do is to call out unto the Lord. His only hope was the Lord's intervention. All idea of trusting in self and his own schemes, that was a waste. That was hopeless. The only thing he could do was call upon the Lord in prayer. And therefore we can say that Jonah was now in the place where he ought to have been from the beginning. When God's word came in Jonah 1 verses 1 and 2, Jonah immediately should have been in this place where he was praying unto the Lord. As he struggled with his political ideologies, as he struggled with this whole matter of obedience, he ought to have got before the Lord. But he had tried to manipulate circumstances in order not to go to Nineveh in obedience to the Lord. But now, though it would seem that prayer is the last resort, he's in the place where he ought to have been from the beginning. And isn't that what happens in our own lives? So often we have had various schemes. So often we have delayed the whole matter of prayer, and yet prayer ought to have been the very first thing that we were doing. We ought to have prayed at the very beginning, and yet the Lord in his mercy has given us that fresh opportunity to come before him. One writer talked about how this belly of the fish really was the closet of the Sermon on the Mount that the Lord talked about, go into your closet and pray. Jonah was forced into the closet. That's all he could do now. But oh, that it wouldn't be the case that the Lord has to force us there, that we would delight in coming before the Lord in prayer. And we can also say that in this time, as Jonah recognized that the Lord was his only hope, that the Bible was open. Now, not literally, not that Jonah was able to open up a scroll and read it inside the belly of the fish, but Jonah had God's word in his mind. And there's so much evidence of that in this chapter 2, and I'm not going to turn you to all the references, but if you have a margin in your Bible, you'll be able to see that down beside chapter 2, that repeatedly we have the Psalms there, and many of those are actually direct quotations or very strong allusions from the Psalms. So, for example, in verse 3 of this chapter, talks about the deep, the floods compass me about, all the billows and thy waves passed over me. And that's the language of Psalm 69. As well as the Psalm 42. In verse 9, I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. And you'll remember that We saw those words on the Lord's Day evening from Psalm 116. Earlier in verse 4, he talks about the holy temple, and in Psalm 18:6, he heard my voice out of his temple. And so though Jonah had no printed Bible, the word of God was in his heart. And as the Lord humbled him, as he was brought to see, the Lord is my only hope, there's nothing else that I can do but cry out to him. In that moment, Jonah was able to bring God's word to memory. He was able to pray over it. And so ought we. Surely, we live in a time when we ought to feel that the Lord is our only hope. As we have various concerns over the future, as we see corruption in governments and media rising continuously, as we wonder what the future is going to hold for us as far as freedoms are concerned, the Lord is our only hope. And may prayer then not be the last resort, but may we be continually crying unto the Lord even in these days. And thirdly then, I want us to see that Jonah prayed recognizing the atoning work was his only means of access. Jonah prayed recognizing the atoning work was his only means of access. In verse 4, he said, "Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple." And so here he is in the belly of the fish, and he's thinking about Jerusalem. He's thinking about the temple. "I will look again toward thy holy temple." Remember when God's people were away from Jerusalem, that they would pray towards the city of Jerusalem, not out of some type of superstition, but rather they would point that way in order to remind themselves of the altar, in order to remind themselves of the sacrifice. So it was when Daniel prayed that he prayed in the direction of the city of Jerusalem. But then in verse 7, he says, "When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thy holy temple." And evidently, the temple in view in verse 7 is not merely the temple in Jerusalem. But he's saying, my prayer ascended right into the heavenlies, came right up to the throne of God. And Jonah then, in these two references to the temple in verse 4 and verse 7, and we can see that he understood this, that the earthly building, that beautiful temple building in Jerusalem, it was to be a shadow of the temple above, as it were, of the dwelling place of God in glory. The earthly temple was preaching the gospel. Because even when we think of what Jonah says here in verse 4, "I am cast out of thy sight," and surely he is acknowledging then that he was deserving of that, that it was sin that had brought that consequence. But he says, "Yet will I look again toward thy holy temple." How could he look to the holy temple when he had this great sense of his sin? How could he look to the place where God's holiness was manifested when he was so guilty? Surely the answer is that he saw the provision in the altar. He saw the provision in the shed blood, and by faith then, he was looking forward to the cross, that on the basis of the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have access. And tonight as we come to pray, how we rejoice that the blood of Christ Christ has been shed, that the way to a holy God has been opened up, the veil has been torn in two, and therefore tonight we are able to pray as Jonah. Then prayed Jonah unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. And whatever our trouble and trials are, may we even tonight come and cry unto the Lord, and knowing, as it says there at the end of verse 2, Thou heardst my voice. He is the one that hears and answers prayer. May the Lord even so do for his glory's sake. Amen.